I love today's scripture readings, but in light of what's happened the past few days, I just felt the Holy Spirit not letting me talk about the scriptures like I would have done, but instead to talk about the news that we received on Friday from the Supreme Court about the overturning of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, as well as Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So obviously, if you have looked at any social media at all, or turned on the television for a moment, or looked at your news feed on your phone for a moment, you can see that so many people are talking about this. Politicians and celebrities are making public statements. If your social media feed is anything like mine, you've seen many different viewpoints being shared and liked and disliked. One of the things that is remarkable to me as I've looked at different headlines and looked at different people's Facebook posts is how we as a country talk about abortion without talking about what it is. And so we use language like women's rights or reproductive rights. We talk about a woman's right to control her body. I saw a headline yesterday asking what other rights could be taken away from us. We've heard people say that now women will be forced to take their pregnancy to term. So we use a lot of euphemisms in our country to talk about abortion, but what abortion is and its morality is very simple. I learned it actually in second grade. In second grade, it was 1988, it was an election year. And to give us second graders a lesson in civics, Mrs. Miller staged a mock election. I'm not sure that it was an especially helpful exercise because none of us knew anything about the candidates nor their policy positions. All we had was their picture. And so I remember examining the photos of both candidates and deciding that one looked a little funny and one looked normal, and so it seemed reasonable to vote for the normal looking person from my perspective. So that night I went home and I told my mom what we had done, and she asked who I had voted for, and I told her, and she said, I'll never forget this, Matthew, you shouldn't have voted for him. He believes that mothers can kill the baby living inside of them if they don't want the baby. That's what abortion is. And I remember being horrified as a second grader. That's the correct reaction to what abortion is. It's the killing of a vulnerable, innocent human person precisely in the place where it's that little human life is supposed to be the most safe. Abortion is not a complicated issue, morally speaking. And unfortunately, we've made it into a political, partisan issue, but it should not be. Whether we're more on the liberal side or more on the conservative side, we should be able to agree that protecting all life, including and especially the most vulnerable, the unborn child, needs to be our priority. Someone after my homily last night said, well, Father, you're preaching to the choir. But it's really important that we who are believers are able to explain why we believe and are convicted in what we believe. And so in talking about this today, I'm not trying to convince anybody, but I'm trying to encourage us in the truth so that we can be firm and steadfast in the truth and confident in the truth. Why is the issue of abortion so important? Well, in addition to the fact that it's the killing of an innocent child, a society that accepts abortion as an acceptable option, even in the first months of pregnancy, communicates something. And it communicates this, that not all human lives have inherent dignity or worth. When abortion is legal, it communicates that a human's life is only good or only has value insofar as it's wanted. So if we were an inconvenience or not planned or wanted, then it's better that we didn't exist. That's what legal abortion communicates to our society. In our society, which communicates that human life does not have inherent dignity and worth, should it be surprising to us that human lives are often not valued outside of the womb? Should it surprise us that our society produces people who find life meaningless? People who are perfectly willing to commit senseless acts of violence against those with whom they disagree, or who look different from themselves, or for no good reason at all? This is Mother Teresa's conviction that violence begins with abortion in a society, and that until abortion is abolished, violence outside of the womb is only going to increase and increase. It seems to me that if in our country human life was cherished and held sacred from the very beginning, if a right to life was enshrined in our nation's constitution, this would communicate that we as a society hold human life to have inherent dignity and worth from conception until the natural death of a person. And this would challenge us, and we should be challenged, to have a consistent ethic of life, that we regard all human life as sacred, the lives of women, men, children, the elderly, the disabled, those in chronic pain, those with terminal illness, those who are in this country legally or illegally, those who have committed terrible crimes. The scriptures tell us that the man and the woman, the human person, is created by God and uniquely created by God, that the woman and man are different from the animals because we are uniquely created in the image and likeness of God. The truth is that every human being, no matter the circumstances of their conception, is loved and intended by God. This is true even when a baby is conceived as a surprise to his or her parents, or whether his or her parents were looking to have a child in the first place, or even when a child is conceived in a context of violence or abuse. To God, every human life is intended, precious. A baby in the womb is the most vulnerable and utterly unable to protect itself. God loves the mother of the unborn child too. And so these are the two things that we have to talk about when we talk about the right to life, when we speak as pro-life people, that God loves the life of the unborn baby, but he loves the life of that mother too. He loves her, he cherishes her. And that he has allowed what she might consider to be a cross in her life. And he wants her to be free to do the right thing, which is to give the gift of life to her child and either raise the child or to give that child as a gift to a couple who would be able to raise that child. Abortion hurts women and is an injustice to women. How many women feel pressured to get an abortion because of its availability? How many women feel pressured by her spouse or lover or family to end the life of her child, which they do not feel like she should have? How many women feel pressure from our society and culture, which tells them that pursuing their education or their career is going to be much more fulfilling than motherhood? Women who are from poor or underprivileged backgrounds can especially feel this pressure. And how many women, and as a priest, I feel like I have a special insight into this, how many women deeply regret for their whole lives the decision that they made to take the life of their child. As someone who has spoken to many women who have had an abortion, my heart breaks for the woman who regrets her abortion. Every day, every year on Mother's Day, I call a particular woman who I've known for many years. She's an elderly lady at this point. And at some point, she shared with me that she had been in an abusive relationship when she was younger. And she had been pressured by her boyfriend to have an abortion, which she did. And she said that it's the most bitter regret of her life, and that she struggled to receive God's forgiveness. She struggled with self-hatred and self-condemnation, struggled to forgive herself. She was not able to have more children. And every year I call her on Mother's Day because that's the hardest day of the year for her, when she thinks about her unborn baby whose life she took. So every year that I talk to her frequently, but I always make sure to call her on Mother's Day. And I always tell her how much God loves her and how God cherishes her and how he forgives her. And then we pray that she will have the grace to forgive herself, which she should, because God forgives her. My fear in what our society does to women is that it takes this unique gift that God has given only to women, not to men, only to women, that's the gift of motherhood, and tells them that motherhood is something that can ruin their life rather than fulfill their life. And so our society tells women that to be truly liberated, they should not pursue motherhood if it's an inconvenience for them, but rather pursue something that's really going to fulfill them or liberate them, like their education or their career. But motherhood is the most precious gift that a woman has. It is. It doesn't always mean that a woman who is in an unexpected pregnancy, it doesn't always mean that God's calling her to raise that child as her own. Maybe he's simply calling her to give that child as a gift to a different family. But bringing that child to full term, giving birth to that child, is a fulfillment of her uniquely feminine capacities that God gives her, that God gives her body and her biology. It's a beautiful gift that God has given women, a gift that I don't have or no other man has, yet our society treats it like a disease, as something a woman should try to get rid of or control at all cost. That's not liberating. So I wanted to talk about this today because we as Christians view what happened on Friday as an answer to decades of prayer, and I'm grateful to all of you who have been praying for this for more years than I've been alive. I'm grateful to my mom, who from when I was a young age told me what abortion was so that I could have a well-formed conscience, not believe the euphemisms that are constantly fed to us by our news media that try to make abortion seem something that isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. It takes the innocent life of a baby and hurts women. And even though now, thankfully, every state is now free to enact legislation based on their elected officials, we have many states, including our own state of Minnesota, that still protects legalized abortion. We have to keep working until abortion is made illegal in our country. We have to. And so let's pray for a spirit of unity in our country. Let's pray for all those who have been brainwashed by our news media and by politicians who try to make abortion into something that it's not. Let's pray that we would continue to have the courage to stand up for the truth, to stand up for the unborn, to stand up for women, for motherhood. And let's give thanks to God this day for the gift that he has given our country, a gift that we prayed for, fasted for many years. Let's give thanks to God for the gift of life that he gives us at this Mass, the gift of our spiritual life. May he nourish our souls today through this Mass, and give thanks that he's given us our human life. May all have this right to life in our country.